بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، الحمد لله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We're on another beautiful day in Ramadan. الحمد لله رب العالمين. And we're in Surah Yusuf. We're touching on a portion in Surah Yusuf after Yusuf has been sold into slavery. And so our story picks up. We'll take it back a little bit. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث، والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر. And the one who purchased him, the governor who purchased him from Egypt, قالت, he said to his wife, لِمْرَأَتِهِ, he told his wife when he brought him home, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, honor this boy's stay. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا, perhaps he'll benefit us. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا, or we can take him as a son. We can take him and he can be our adopted son. What we learn from this is that the Aziz, who happens to be the governor of Egypt, he's like second to the king. And you notice he's called the king and not a Fir'aun, because there's things going on in the background as well. The previous Fir'aun was also referred to as a king, because these are the only two Fir'auns who in their temples or in their pyramids, there are no idols. So the Fir'aun prior to Yusuf coming and this current king, Fir'aun, doesn't have any idols in their tombs when they opened them up. And then afterwards, the next one, he again has some of the idols that the Fir'aun used to have. What this tells us is that the da'wah, was the stage was set for Yusuf to come in with the da'wah of Tawheed from however the previous Fir'aun got this da'wah, but he refused to worship the ibadah that they had before. And his son becomes a follower of Yusuf. But we're not there yet. This is just in the background. So also when he gets sold to the governor who's in charge of Egypt. Actually, the Fir'aun and those, they're in Memphis. They're in different places of Egypt. So Misra is for this particular governor. We're going to refer to him as the Aziz. He tells his wife, he brings this boy home. He says, Akrimi mathwahu, honor him, honor his stay. Perhaps he'll benefit us some way, as slaves sometimes do. They get jobs, they bring money home to their master. Or we can take him and he can be our adopted son. Right? We take him as a son. Look how handsome he is. Look how much adab the boy has. They couldn't have a child of their own. And so that's what they did. They took him as their son. And they put him in the highest place in their house, which was in the top room. And now he went from being in the bottom of a deep well to being at the top of the house where he gets all the sunlight. They gave him servants. They gave him mentors and tutors to teach him how to ride horses, use the sword, teach math, and all the different things that an aristocrat, the son of a governor, would have to do. And he would miss the wife, her name is Zulekha. She would take him around wherever she was going in tow. This is her child. She's showing him off and everything. And so he learned these manners and everything as a child. Allah has set him up. Set him up to win. And Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And makkanna, to make something strong and firm and established. Makkanna, we established him and made him firm in the land. Why? وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And in order to teach him the interpretation and meaning of events and things that would happen. He was already told some of this. We don't know how much he was told, but he was already told when he was in the well by the angel Jibril that some of these events were going to happen. And so now he gets to understand it. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah is the one who is overwhelming and deciding and making everything happen in his affairs and in Allah's affair. However, most people don't know this. They don't get it. They think something else caused this to happen. No, it happened because Allah wanted it to happen. And the plan of Allah is the only plan that's in effect at the moment. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And so we see نُعَلِّمَهُ is in the present future tense, means it's ongoing. So he says, وَلَمَّا, and لَمَّا again is not if or either, no. Here is when this happened, something else was happening as well. So then when he arrived at his full strength, ashuddahu, they say, the Mufassirun say, when he had been living there for 10 years, approximately 10 years, so he's around 20 years old now. Atainahu hukman wa ilma. Now the rule comes in. His hukman, he understands he has authority, he has the hikmah, he understands how to do things perfectly. And ilm and his knowledge has all settled in. This is what Allah has given him. Okay? وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And like this, we reward those who are doing excellent. Ihsan is the highest form of Islam. We have Islam, we have Iman, and then on top of that, we have Ihsan. And Ihsan is to worship Allah as though you know that Allah sees you. Okay? And it's as if you can see Allah, but you know you can't. Doing the Allah best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Allah is saying, and this is how we reward the who are doing their love and do for Allah, okay? Only for Allah. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is what the وَغَلَّ وَاب jumps right into and now Zuleikh يهويها عن نفسه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك. So now we have another situation. Now he's in the house. He's this young 20-something year old man. And he's no longer the cute child. Father, he wants, I want. But rawadatu in this form, it means she is trying. She wants to make him want to desire and to satisfy his nafsihi, his base self, his human desire. So she is, this is called tempting, seducing. She's trying to get him to call upon or to satisfy his base desire. And this is done through dressing certain ways. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wazaniyatu wazani. He mentions the woman first when it comes to zina, because the dressing, the walking, all the performing that women do is to rawidatuhu an nafsi, is in order to pull from the watcher, whoever is looking, from his base self and to desire her. And so he says here, she made wanted to seek to desire from his own self. Okay. وغلقت الأبواب, and she called him up to her room, her private chamber. وغلقت, and locked all the doors. Now, in some narration, it says there are seven doors. She locked them. We don't have that particular firm from the Sharia, but she locked, click, click, click. And we don't know how many locks, whether it was seven doors or was seven locks. But she locked them up. The word ghallaqat means more than one, multiple. Like qatta'at aydiyahum means they cut themselves, when the women cut themselves with more than one cut. So she locked the door and locked it up tight, and then said to him, he talak. What is he talak? He talak. What it means? It means, we say, take, call. He ta, it's for you. You, it's lawful for you. Take it. Take whatever you want. And it said that she got undressed and she took off her clothes and then said, he talak. Hey, come in, whatever you want, you can have. Take it, it's yours, no blame. And before she did that, she had a sanam, an idol, in her house, in her room. And she covered it up with a cloth because she was shy to act like that in front of this idol. And that drew his attention. He paid attention to that. قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمين. He says ظالمون. He says معاذ الله يوسف. He says معاذ الله. Allah forbid. Allah forbid. Okay. I'm not. أعوذ بالله. معاذ الله is أعوذ بالله. Ma'adha is I'm seeking refuge in a place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu Rabbi, he's referring to both the Aziz, and he could be referring to Allah. Ahsana mathwaya, I have been treated well by my Lord. He has done ihsan to me in putting me in his house. And of course, so the language is referring to the husband, but it also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has treated me well. Why would I violate what the trust that he's given me? Okay? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمِينَ. The fact of the matter is that the one who does dhalam, the dhalam will never be successful. لا, like we said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believer has already become successful. But the dhalimun will never come to falah. When Allah's ordered us to say, hayya ala al falah, and to kun min al muflihun, A dhalim, the one who is a dhalim, the one who goes too far, the one that takes the rights of others, the one who is an extremist, who violates other people and doesn't do what he's supposed to do. An extremist never be successful. Walaqad, she couldn't stop herself. Hamma, they say, what are the jundullah? What are the warriors of Allah, the soldiers of Allah? And some people said the mountains. Some people said, well, fire. Some people said wind. And because the wind puts out the fire, and water, is pushed by the rain as well, by the winds and everything like that. And then they go on to talk about things and say, but hem, and man can put out fire, and man can control water. So a man is the strongest warrior of Allah. Then he said, but hem, sleep makes man go to, knocks a man out. And hem keeps man from sleep. What is hem? Worry and anxiety. And so at the end of it, they say that him is the strongest warrior of Allah. And Allah knows best. This is just, some of the wise people talking about things. It could be true, it could not be true. But what we're referring to is the strength of him, anxiety, worry, concern, that it won't let you eat what you're concerned about. When you're concerned, you can't sleep. You can't sit down. You can't stop. You can't think about anything but what your hamma be. This is what's referring to. Walaqad hammat bi. She was concerned. All of her mind was concerned and focused on him. Wahamma biha. And he too was concerned and watching and worried about her. Some of the mufassirun say he's a young man. One of his hem, he's worried. He can tell she wants him. She's a woman, a rich woman, a beautiful woman who wouldn't be attracted to her. But he's worried too. He can get in trouble. She could flip it on him. She could destroy him. And he's also worried about his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's worried about her as well, more than she's worried about him. Lawla an ra'a burhana rabbi. And if it wasn't for the fact that he witnessed the burhan of his Lord, he might have fallen victim to her. What was that? When he saw her cover up that idol, that was enough proof for him. That's when he came back to his senses and was no longer worried about falling into zina with this woman. She covered up the sanam. Allah has more right for me to be shy than this woman to be shy in front of this thing. Because again, he's min al-muhsinin. Al-muhsin, he knows that Allah sees him. The definition of a muhsin is that he worships Allah as though he could see him, but even though he can't see him, he knows that Allah sees him. So he knows that Allah sees him, and she reminded him of that when she covered up that idol. Kadhalik, like that, Allah says, linasrifa anhu su'a wal fahsha. Allah says, this is what we did. We made her do that in order to linasrifa anhu, to turn him away, sarafa anhu, to turn him away from all that evil and that fahsha. Fahsha is, how do I say this in English? Fahsha is sexually foul things and inappropriate. Okay? That's what fahsha is. Lewd and inappropriate behavior. That's the meaning of fahsha. Pornography and those types of things. So she's calling him to zina. She's done stripped herself naked. He's a man. Wa khuliqa al-insana dha'ifa. And he's a young man, hamma biha. He's nervous. But when she covered up, he saw the burhan of his Lord. He remembered, and Allah used this to turn him away from that evil and that burhan. Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. Allah has given us a point. He says, he is from our slaves, one of my slaves, mukhlasin, one of my chosen ones. We're going to protect him. What is that? That's explaining why linasrifa anhu. We turned him away from it in protecting him because he's one of our mukhlasin. He's one of our protected, I'm sorry, chosen, purified, khalis, pure slave. So the word mukhlas and mukhlis are two different. Mukhlis is someone who is seeking and on his own to be have ikhlas, wholehearted sincerity to Allah. And we have the Suratul Ikhlas, where Allah is one, Ahadun Ahad, Suratul Ikhlas. So this person is striving in his own to be mukhlis, sincerely for Allah, wholehearted, upfront with Allah. Whereas mukhlas are the ones that Allah has chosen and purified them himself to be for him. So he says, Innahu min ibadina mukhlasin. Of course we were protecting him. Wastabiqal bab. You see how I said that? Wastabiqal bab. The both on the alif al ithnain. And they both raced for the door. Istabiqa. Remember when we said, we took Yusuf in the mata'ana. We went and we were going. Wastabiqu. We were racing. Okay? And we left Yusuf with our mata'ina fa'akalahu dhib. But here we have the same word again. Wastabaqal bab. And the both of them raced towards the door. Okay? They both raced towards the door to try to get out of there. He's trying to get those locks open. She's trying to get him to face her. Because she knows the nature of men, especially young men. Can't control themselves into a naked woman, beautiful woman, smell of the woman in front of you, all in between your arms. It's difficult for a man to do. Very difficult. So she's trying to turn him around to look at her. And if you've studied anything from psychology, even when men are angry at women, even if you see when women have cheated on their husband and the husband wants to get out the house, when the woman gets in front of him, she says, "Look at me." Look, gets all up in his face, and it's difficult for men to control themselves. This is the nature of men. So she's trying to turn him around. وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِن دُبُرٍ And she rips his shirt. قَدَّتْ Tears. His shirt, قَمِيص. Again, we talked about his shirt. It's the second time his shirt has something to do with his life. And you see here, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see someone with a long shirt in a dream, that means Iman. And his shirt is mentioned over and over. Qaddat qamisahu, his shirt is ripped. She ripped his shirt from behind. Min dubr. Dubr means the butt. From the backside. Wa alfaya sayyidaha ladal bab. And alfaya, but they alfaya, let me just find one. They run right into her husband, stumble right into his arms. Alfaya, both of them, not just her, not just him. Alfaya sayyidaha. They bust through the door, and he's at the door. They run right into his arms. Ladal bab. And the description here is they fall into his arms, right between the door, right at the door. She's naked. He's running, his shirt is ripped. What does she do? She immediately flips the script. قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. She said, what is the reward? ما جزاء, what should you do? What should be the recompense? Okay? Or for someone who أراد بأهلك سوءا, who wanted to do some evil to your family, except illa and yusjan, that either you put this man in prison, aw adhabun aleem, or you give him a painful punishment. Yusuf starts fast, yo, kala, here rawadat li an nafsi. She trying to seduce me. This is literally what it said. Rawadatni an nafsi. She was trying to get to my lower self. She was trying to get me to desire to satisfy my lower self. Rawadatni an nafsi. Wa shahida shahidun min ahliha. They say that there was a servant there, some servants there. And one of them, what one of the servants had a small child, like you know, the babies be 4 or 5 years old, real small. They say anything, right? They say anything. Well, Shahi, the Shahi dun min ahli, huh? And this child is from her family. It wasn't a grown person who could say, well, you know, she hate me. She got this, this again. No, it's a child. A child that's not even 6 years old. Okay? It's not even clear that the child is five. They say the child is not a baby, but not over 6 years. So it's like 4 or 5 years old, we say. But articulate. Min ahliha, from her side of the family. In kana qamisuhu qudda min qublin, fasadaqat. وهو من الكاذبين وإن كان قميصه قد من دبر فكذبت وهو من الصادقين. From the mouths of babes, you can't get no clearer than that. She said that the witness says, hey yo, if his shirt is ripped from the front, then she's telling the truth and he's a liar. But if it's ripped from the back, then you know he's telling the truth and she's you know he, then she's lying and he's telling the truth. They can only look at it. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ. Yani, it's clear now. So when they both, they see, they saw that his shirt was ripped from the backside, the Aziz, the governor, he loses all credibility here. قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنَّ. This is from your trap. This is a trick. He knows his wife did it. Inna kayda kunna azim. The fact is, you women, because now he accuses all women. It's from all of you. All y'all is azim, is mighty. You got a wicked, there's a huge plot you got going on here. Yusuf, arid an hadha. Oh, Yusuf, turn away from this. Don't say nothing. Arid an hadha. Forget about this. Don't say anything. Why? He doesn't want a scandal. He's the governor. He doesn't want this to get out of the house. Don't say another turn away from this. Plus, he loves Yusuf. He's seen the boy grow up. He's done nothing wrong. He knows he's been dhulam, right? And he knows his own wife. Turn away from this. Turn away. And he tells his wife, wastaghfiri, and you should seek forgiveness for your crime, your sin. Innaki kunti min al-khati'ina. You are the one, you're the mistaken one, you're the troublemaker, intentionally mistaken. Khati'een, not mukhti'. You didn't make a mistake, you khati'een. And there's a difference in the language. Mukhti' is one thing, made a mistake. Well, khati'een, you intentionally did this. Okay? Innaki kunti min al khati'een. You playing games, you wrong. That's how we're saying it. That's how we, you know, innaki kunti min al khati'een. It's like saying, yo, you wrong. You wrong. You know you wrong. Understand it that way. Okay? And that's where we'll end for today. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I hope that what we have talked about helps you see Surah to Yusuf and understand it the way, at least the way I understand it when I read it, and from having read at least 10 different tafsir, at least 10, I'm sure I read more than that. On this particular surah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Do I have any questions about what we went over today? About anything that I said? About any linguistic point or any tafsir point with regards to the story of Yusuf up to this part? No. If it's possible for you to let them use the.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Bismillah.
I was just wondering for like the specifics of like names and stuff like that. Those would be like from the Israeliyat or something. I was wondering.
Some of them are from the Israeliyat. I always wonder why people have a problem with the Israeliyat. You know, this is a new thing. When people say, well, you know, I'm not saying you did, but people mention it as though that there's something wrong with the Israeliyat and that we shouldn't use them. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a clear hadith said, narrate from the Israeliyat, wala haraj, and don't feel bad about it. Al-haraj is for something to go back and forth. I mean, this is haraj. to have inside your chest, not on your chest, a feeling going back and forth in your chest. Hakka, bad feeling. And the Prophet said, narrate. Hadith and Bani Israel wala haraj. And Ibn Kathir's book became famous 1,000 years ago with the Israelites inside of him. This modern generation, when they started taking things out, they said, we're going to take the Israelites out. Why? Why would they do that? That's no one told them to do that. Ibn Kathir became famous and became a classic with the Israelites in it from our Salaf, from our earlier generations. We think we can do better by taking them out. But yes, to answer your question, these the names Zulekha and these things are well documented, some in Hadith and some in Israelite. Some they're not saying exactly where they got the names from, but they're the Tabi'in and the different Mufassirun are mentioning them in this way. And it's interesting to know that the name Zulekha is still a very famous name in East Africa. Okay. You find it in Sudan, find it in Ethiopia, find it amongst the Somali, find it amongst the Oromo, the Amhar, the Nuba, and the different Qabail in the Sudania. So it's one of those really used names. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Okay, someone else had a question. Does that answer your question?
Yes, JazakAllah khairan.
Hey, Alhamdulillah. Next person said they had a question. Go ahead and ask. Was that Humaira? Whoever that was, go ahead and ask your question. Assalamu alaikum, Sariya. Saraya, Afwan. Saraya. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now I want to thank you all for that nice hours, like feeling being part of the time. Hey, well, alhamdulillah. But if you kindly keep us all in your idea. So do we, barakallahu fikum. Jazakumullah khair, hayakumullah. Well. I am muted.
Yes,
Okay,
Marcus,
if
your
someone could
mic's
allow.
open now.
Well,
Unmuted now.
go ahead, Mr. Marcus. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Allahumma barik fina wa fikum. Jazakumullah khair, tafaddal.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I will speak English. I do not remember the exact ayat you're reading, but at the beginning, you were speaking about the different levels of salat, different levels of praying to Allah. And
No. I said these are the different levels of Islam. Islam is a general term, okay, for our deen, okay?
no.
And can you hear me? I'm frozen, I guess.
Yes, no.
Okay, and it has three levels, okay? So the name of the deen is Islam, and the first level of the deen is called Islam. The second level of Islam is called Iman, and it's a higher level. And the highest level of Islam is called Ihsan, and it's the highest level of Islam. And each one has a different definition. So Islam, as that first level of Islam, is the submission, the acts of ibadah that we did is established on the five principles, the five pillars of Islam. It's not restricted to that, but the five pillars, which is to distinguish yourself. Distinguishing yourself. Okay? Because this portion of what do you call it? A distinction is getting lost in these days, sadly. It's being pushed, the distinction. But it's the first principle and first pillar of Islam. If it weren't for a distinction, we wouldn't have to take the Shahada. And from the loss of distinction is the loss of dressing like a Muslim. Okay? Where men now are looking like, not men, and men are not looking like Muslims. Okay? So that's one. The second part is to establish the salah, to pay the zakah, to what do you call it, fast during the month of Ramadan, and to perform Hajj or Umrah as soon as you can. These things are part of the fundamentals. These are what Islam is based on. If someone has these five things, they are Muslim. and they're in Islam. The second level is Iman, and it has six principles, and it's all fear. It's all things you believe. There's nothing there except for you saying, I believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers and the qadr of Allah. Hulwuhu wa murruhu, the sweetness of it and the bitterness of it. And the last day. That's why you hear in the Quran, it always says, you believe in Allah and the last. Man yu'min billahi wal yawmil akhir. He's talking about from A to Z, Iman, right? And everything in between that, right? Believe in Allah and the last day means to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the qadr, and the last day. So it's like from head to toe. Don't get lost on that. Okay. And then the third, the highest part of Islam is to worship Allah, go about acting and doing what you're doing, right? In Islam, ka'annaka tara, like if you can see Allah, but you can never. The psychology is this: you can never imagine anything you have not seen before. We don't create, we put together in a creative way, meaning a create-like way. When we make the horse with the wings, we're just taking a plane or a bird that has wings, and we take the wings, and we're not making anything new. We can only imagine what we've already seen. However, we can put it together. So we can never imagine what Allah looks like. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ أَن تَرَى, so if you can't see Allah, and you know you can't see Allah, at the very least, you know that Allah sees you. أَسْمَعْ وَأَرَى, Allah says about himself. He hears and he sees us. Okay? So this is what I'm referring to. These are the three levels of Islam. Okay? These are the three levels of Islam. Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Does that help you?
Shukran ya khair. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu fikum. If there's, I could take about two more questions and then we have to cut. It says, is Fir'aun a term that comes from the Greek, like from when they were ruling Egypt? How should we understand the various ethnicities that have tried, that have ruled Egypt? Okay, I think there's, you know, lots of places, Egypt has been conquered a lot of times and or entered and people have ruled over it. But Egypt and its relationship to Greece is the opposite way. You know, everything you find that is Greek is actually coming from Egypt, even their mythology. All of that comes from the Egyptians. In this regard, the Kemetic people are correct. Almost anything you see that comes from Greece actually came from Egypt, and it's not the other way around. The term Fir'aun, we find it in the Quran. So I'm not going to say that in any shape, form, or fashion. You know where it came from. I didn't look that up. Okay, I didn't. I'm going to look it up because I am interested in that. But I don't know that it comes from Greek at all. But that's not the reason why the term Malik is used here. The term Fir'aun was used and is used only for the Zalimun amongst the kings of Egypt. All the kings that were Zalims, criminal, kafirs, despicable people. These people are called Fara'in or Fir'aun. Okay. And the ones that were not were called Malik, kings. So Allah doesn't use the term Fir'aun for the kings of Egypt during the time of Yusuf. So it's not also to be confused with the Fir'aun of Musa. Okay. And the Fir'aun during that time or afterwards. So you understand. And also, they became these Fir'auns maybe after the entrance of the Bani Israel into Egypt. I hope that answers your question as well. One more thing. Let me go back up. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair. Ameen wa ayana. How do we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrate from the in the. Okay, hold on. How do we understand that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrate from the Israels in terms of the hadith? No, he didn't just say of terms of hadith, but let's use that. Umar copied part of the Torah in Arabic, brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and began to read it to him. As he read, the Prophet's face changed color. One of the men said, "Woe to you, Ibn Khattab! Can you not see the face of the Messenger of Allah?" Thereupon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not ask the people of the book about anything, for they will meet not guide you when they have gone astray. Okay, if you listen to them, you will evil disbelieve what is right." Okay, hold on, let me see down here. When if you listen to them, you will either disbelieve in what is right or believe in what is false. By Allah, if Musa had been alive today, he would have been obliged to follow me. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said that is one of the narrations of Jabir ibn al-Ju'fi, and he is a weak narrator. Okay, so I will say this to answer your question.
Yeah,
The
before
narrator.
you answer the question, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
If you guys notice any of these chats, you see that this is the only thing they can do. If you notice chats about being hacked and all of that, this is the only ability they have is just go to the chat and write all this nonsense. They're not able to disturb the class or anything like that. The sheikh, you can continue.
جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم الحمد لله رب العالمين وجزاكم الله خير يا أستاذة to answer this question الحمد لله رب العالمين first you have to understand that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us to narrate from Bani Israel with regards to those things that do not contradict Islam okay that either go along with Islam Or do not contradict what we have in Islam. Anything that they narrate to us from their what we would call their Talmud and their things like that, their Talmud is similar to their hadith books, then we can take that and run it through our filter. If it does not contradict, but it actually goes along with that Islam, then we can narrate those things. We will also notice that any of the information that we do get from them. From any of the Israelites that's beneficial, it's knowledge that, like we said, enhances the story, but we did not need it to increase our understanding of Iman, right? It didn't bring any, without it, our Tawheed would not have been less without that. So it just brings to enhancement of the stories. What Ibn al-Khattab was criticized for, radiallahu anhu, was reading the Torah, their scripture. And this is considered like reading the Bible, okay, today's modern day Bible or one of the translations there, once the Quran has been laid down. And you have to understand context, people who are saying this, you have to understand context. At this time, the Sahaba did not allow anyone to even narrate the hadith of the Messenger of Allah in order to keep it from contradicting, not contradicting, but from confusing people with the Quran. So it was only after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Umar ibn Khattab encouraged Abu Huraira to narrate the hadiths of the Messenger of Allah. So at this time, not only were they told not to read the Bible or the Torah or the Injil, but they were told not to narrate and pass around the hadith of the Messenger of Allah or narrate them to people so that people would not confuse them with the Quran. So let me make it clear again. This narration should be taken in context of the time that it was told and what they were doing, not just with the narration, the Bible and the Injil, but also with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. There was very strong to make sure anything narrated did not be confused as Quran or compete with it while it was being revealed. That's how this should be taken. Okay? And it should not be taken as a condemnation or contradiction to a later narration of the Prophet. Where he says, narrate from Bani Israel. Okay? So when you study hadith, one of the things we need to study is the context of what was going on at the time. And this is why I always tell my qudat, my fiqh students and the ones who are in the judges who are going to be judges in fuqaha. You cannot be a judge without knowing history. You cannot be a faqih without knowing historic context, because fiqh is always going to be in its historic context. And this is why tafsir is the ultimate study. Why? Why do we keep doing different tafsirs? Because the tafsir changes with the time. Az-zalamu mufassirul Quran. Time is a tafsir of the Quran. And so we have to describe and explain the Quran in light of the times that we are in. So we do multiple types of tafsir, right? Explain what happened, asbab al-nuzul and everything, and then how to apply it now. But now changes, right? So then we're gonna have to keep doing that, doing that, doing that. And how do we study hadith? We look at them, and if there seems to be one that is contradicting with the other, then we say, which one came first? What was going on here, unique to that? And what was going on here? Why do you think the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said narrate? Because he knew people were not narrating from them. So now he says, do it and don't feel bad about it. And that's the point here. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But I don't want you guys to get this confused. Things I'm telling you, most of this is not Bani Israeli. It's not Israelites. These are assumptions that you have. Read the books of tafsir. The things I'm telling you is in almost all the books of tafsir. From the language of the Muslims narrating, saying this is what they learned from Ibn Abbas. This was narrated by Mujahid. Not just Bani Israel, some things. But this is the stance of the Salaf. This is the stance of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' al-Tabi'een, what they wrote and narrated in their books. And the amount of it that comes from Bani Israel is very little. Okay? The problem is, you all have to do more reading. Okay? You have to do more reading. And then you will find, and you will understand, you know, inshallah ta'ala. I said to you all that this tafsir comes from at least 10 different tafsirs. At least 10 different tafsir. Okay? Not one. And I'm not narrating anything that there's ikhtilaf. So may Allah, as Nabi al-Hasan said, may Allah increase us all in knowledge and hikmah. Okay? Enjoy. This story is one of the best, is the best story in the world. The most engaging story in the world. And there's so much benefits to it. Okay? Don't lose sight of those things. When I was a young talibul ilm, I was very critical of people because I was coming out of the Marine Corps. So out of Marine Corps, we snap, pop, attention to every little detail. And if someone started a khutbah and he said, In alhamdulillah, I was like, I would talk about In alhamdulillah. You don't know nahwu wa sarf? In alhamdulillah, right? What's he talking about? And I couldn't enjoy a khutbah. I wouldn't learn anything. And then one of my mentor sheikhs told me, you're only going to see what you're looking for, son. That's what he told me. You go to the khutbah, you're only going to find what you're looking for. If you're looking for mistakes, you will find mistakes. If you're looking for something good, then you'll find something good. Okay? Yeah, it's good. Whatever you're looking for, you will find. So if you look for some benefit, you'll find benefit from a bum. And if you're looking for mistakes, you'll find mistakes even in the Sahaba. Radwanullah alayhim. Okay? Does that make sense, guys? So it's all about what you're looking for. Make sure you're looking for benefit and your days will always be bright. You'll never have a bad day. And this is what is meant when there's a silver lining in even in a cloud, right? In every cloud, as the older people used to say in English, you know? So may Allah bless us with the vision of Anbiya, who were called, and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and those who follow them, who are called visionaries, not because what they see, because of what they don't see. They don't see obstructions to benefiting. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make it easy for us to benefit. Rabbi Zidni Ilma, as someone wrote here. ربي زدني علما. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And I'm sorry if I took too much time of yours today. I hope that we can continue to have this lovely, enjoyable time with this surah. And assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you.